Don Crow, Director of Discipleship Evangelism, Collection for the Saint Ministry, is teaching on the subject of the Kingdom of God.
But I want to introduce the Kingdom of God today from a different perspective. And that different perspective is that I want to go through the back door. You know, Kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. Well, what is the importance of the Kingdom of God? Well, in order to understand the importance of the Kingdom of God and the message that Jesus spoke, you're going to have to understand that what we're really talking about is the conflict between two kingdoms. It's not just a matter of the Kingdom of God. That there is a conflict between two kings, two kingdoms, and then each king has subjects within his kingdom, and we're going to talk about that today. So I'm going to go through the back door today and show you from the Scriptures why we need to understand the message of Jesus concerning the Kingdom of God, the importance of it. All right, and I'm going to do that by really not talking so much this morning about the Kingdom of God, but by showing you the other side of the coin, which is the kingdom of darkness. First of all, in your notes here, you have to realize that if we want to take a word and if we want to understand it, all right, okay, we have a kingdom of God, which defines what we're talking about. It's of God. First of all, we have to understand that the word kingdom is divided in by two words here. It's king and dumb, kingdom. And this is in your notes. First of all, a king is the one that reigns or rules or has authority or lordship. Kingship, all right, he's a king. Number two, kingdom means actually the domain or the territory in which one rules. In other words, the subjects in which he rules over. We've got a king that rules, that reigns, and then we have the domain in which he rules over. Now, the kingdom of God, in its simplest form, is the king, the Lord Jesus, has a domain, a realm, or a group of individuals in which they have accepted his rule and his reign. And in order to accept his rule and his reign of the king, the Lord Jesus, requirements must be met. Requirements such as this. Jesus addressed it like this. John the Baptist started it. Then Jesus addressed it. And then the 12 took it. And then it goes into the New Testament. The Apostle Paul began to preach about it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In order to enter this domain, you must accept his rule. And in order to accept his rule, to accept his reign, there must be a change in your heart. Now, that change in the heart is described in the Scriptures in various ways. Repentance, which means to have a change of mind, a change of heart towards God, and away from this other domain, this other rulership, okay, which is darkness or Satan. The Bible says in John 3:3, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless something takes place in the heart, which Jesus called a birth, a new birth, born from above, a new nature. Okay? And so you have the king who rules and reigns, and then you have the domain or the subjects in that rulership, those that have accepted his rule. Now, The first thing that we've got to establish before we talk about the kingdom of God is we have to establish the fact that Satan has usurped authority over mankind and has begun to reign over mankind as king. Okay? Let's look at these scriptures. First of all, let's look at Luke chapter 11. I want you to go with me in your Bibles. Okay? I want you to follow me in your Bibles. Luke chapter 11, verse 18, it says this. Jesus said this. Luke 11:18. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out demons through Beelzebub. Now, Jesus is saying a particular thing, but I just want to gear in on this fact that Jesus is saying that there is a person, a spirit person. His name is Satan. He's identified here in the scripture as Satan. And he says, Jesus says here, it plainly in verse 18, that he has a kingdom. There is a king in the scripture. He's called Satan. And he has a kingdom. He usurps authority and rulership and reign over individuals. And he has a domain in which he rules. Jesus plainly here says that Satan here has a kingdom. All right? Now let's turn over to Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 5, it says this. It says, and the devil taking him up, talking about Jesus, the devil taking up Jesus into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of this world, of the world, in a moment of time. It wasn't that he just showed him, well, here's the Roman Empire. I believe that he showed him the Roman Empire, the domains of Russia, the domains of the United States, of China, all the domains of kingdoms of all the worlds, all throughout time. It says it right here. Take him up into a high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil, verse 6, the devil said unto him, all of this power, all of this authority, I'll give to you, Jesus, and the glory of all these kingdoms, for that is delivered unto me. Satan was saying, I'm in control here. I'm in control of all of these kingdoms of the world. You ever wonder why there's so much war, there's so much terrorism, there's so much fighting, there's so much pain, there's so much conflict in the world today? Is because Satan said he has authority, he's ruling, he's reigning, he has a domain in which God is giving him a certain amount of authority right now, liberty to exercise his authority, and he's exercising it over the authority of mankind. And he says here, verse 6, and the devil said to him, all this power I'll give to you and the glory of them. There's a certain amount of glory to these kingdoms. For that is delivered unto me, it's been given unto me, and to whosoever I will, I'll give it. I've got authority here. This is mine. I've got the power to give it to you. Verse 7, if you will worship me, I'll give it to you. Amen. So, here's what I'm trying to say. First of all, there was creation. And creation was perfect. And God put Adam and Eve in the garden. And there was nothing there that they could do that to violate their conscience. They had no, in fact, they were naked and didn't even know it. There was nothing they could do to violate their conscience. They were naked and unashamed. They enjoyed perfect fellowship with God, perfect fellowship and communion with one another. Only one thing, God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the day you eat thereof you shall die. So they partook of the tree, what we know is Genesis chapter 3, the fall. And through that, from that time onward, even to this present time right now, all the kingdoms of all the world, all the kingdoms of all the ages, Satan took authority. Probably got it from man, but he took authority over this system. Let's turn over to John chapter 12, verse 31. It says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now Jesus is talking about that through the redeeming work on the cross, that he has stripped Satan of his authority, and so on and so forth. We're going to talk more about that, but what I want to say just right now, verse 31 describes him as the prince of this world. Now the word prince is the same word that we would say king. He's a prince. He's the king of this world. And the word world many times is not just talking about this world like we understand the world, but it's talking about the king of this system, the king of this age. He's usurped himself and he's exercising his lordship over mankind. Now let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel, the good news of Christ, be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," now he's referred to as the God of this world, we could say the king of this world, the prince of this world, the God of this world, little G-O-D, because he's not God by nature. Doesn't have the attributes of Almighty God. He's little G-O-D. He's usurped himself and put himself in the place of God, whereas men worship him. But he is not God by nature. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelievers, of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel," the good news of Christ, "who is the image and express likeness of God, should shine unto them." Verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as the Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Now here's some things I just want to say about that is this. First of all, that the Scripture here acknowledges through the Apostle Paul in his writings that Satan is the god of this world, the king of this world, or we could say the god of this age. It's really the understanding, a correct understanding of the world. He's the god of this age. All right? And also, he has subjects, and the subjects here, according to verse 3, is those that are lost. Satan is usurping authority, and he's over mankind, and those that he's usurping authority over are what the Scriptures here say are the lost. And the reason that he can usurp the authority that he has over them is because of blindness on their part. Okay, blindness to the truth of the gospel. And in other words, the blindness or darkness that they're in. All right. And now in verse 5, it says, Paul said, verse 4, "lest the glorious good news of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So this good news of the gospel is centering around the new king. All right, Christ, Christos, the anointed one to rule and reign, which is Christ. You do not have to be under the authority and kingship and lordship of the enemy. Through the good news of this new king and this new kingdom, Christ Jesus. Now, he says here in verse 5, Paul says, we do not preach ourselves. I'm not here preaching Don Crow Ministries. I'm not here preaching Andrew Womack Ministries. We preach not ourselves, but here's what we preach. Christ, Christos, the anointed one to rule, to be king. Christ Jesus, Jesus meaning the idea of someone who delivers or saves. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the master. He's the one that you can come under His domain. And we are a servant, okay? We serve you because we're servants unto Jesus. All right. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says this. It says, who hath delivered us, freed us, released us, delivered us from the power of darkness. The NIV says the domain of darkness. We're talking about the realm in which Satan rules, his kingdom. And Paul's talking here about a deliverance from that reign or that domain or that rule in which we were one time under. Delivering us, who hath delivered us, hath, past tense, delivered us, from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into a new kingdom, into the kingdom of His dear Son. There is a transfer from one kingdom into another through the preaching of the glorious gospel of not preaching ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, as King, as Master. Now, verse 14, it says, in whom, that's through Jesus, we have redemption, which means to freedom, release through His blood, we have the forgiveness of our sins. So here's what I want to say out of this. Satan has a domain. It's a dominion of darkness. Point number two, we need a release. In order to get out of that, we need a release. And that release can only come one way. It's through redemption. That word redemption means to buy back, to purchase, to release, to free, to deliver. We were subjects of the evil one in a dominion of darkness. We were blind, spiritually blinded. And there must be a release, freedom, liberty, setting it free through a redeeming act of purchasing us back through the blood of Jesus. All right? And verse 14 says, we need the forgiveness of our sins. That's part of that release from that system. You see, the strength of sin is the law. Praise God, I'm not under the law, but I'm under grace. The law says you do this, and if you don't, you'll die. If you do this, you'll die and you'll go to hell, etc., etc. We need to be released from the accusations of the evil one. Amen? That only could come through the redeeming act of Christ, and it was an act of grace. Now let's go on to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 2, we could start at verse 1. Verse 1 says, He's made us alive. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Okay. Verse 2, wherein in times past you walked or you lived according to the course of this age, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the king. He reigns in this system, as we have already seen. And he reigns, he's the prince of the power of the air. Now, there's actually three Greek words in the scriptures that refer to air. And it's talking about air here, the lower atmosphere of this earth. In other words, this domain, and right what's above this domain here, he's ruling, he's reigning. And he's doing that through principalities and powers and all those different kind of things that are in the influence in this earth and in this system right now and in this age. And he says, here we all walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children who disobey God, in the children of disobedience. All right, so here's what I want to say. Satan here is referred to as a prince or a king. It also says he's a spirit, all right, and he works in his subjects. He's invisible. He's a spirit. He works in his subjects. And it says, we all, in time past, walked according to this. Look at verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation. We all had our lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God intervened because he was rich in his great love and mercy, wherein he loved us. So here we are. I'm just establishing the fact. It's not just a kingdom of God. There's a kingdom of darkness. There's a kingdom here of the evil one. There's a spirit that works in his subjects, and we were all under that bondage. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24. It says that 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, it says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, which means must not quarrel, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient, and in meekness, or in other words, in humility, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure or perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare. The word snare is a word that means a trapping device used to trap animals. They may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, the trapping device of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. In other words, people are taken captive by the devil at his will. Why? Because they don't acknowledge the truth. They haven't come to a place of repentance and acknowledge the truth. Therefore, Satan has taken them captive like a trapping device, trapping a wild animal. He's taken them captive, ensnared them at his own will. Now, the Word of God here says that God wants to give them repentance and acknowledging of the truth so he can get out of this domain and this snare that the enemy has trapped people in. All right? Now, so first of all, we've established through these scriptures that Satan is a king. He has a domain. He's ruling. He's a prince of power of the air. He's ruling in this system. He's ruling in this age. And he has subjects that the scripture here calls the lost, the unbelievers. They're in darkness. They need to be released through redemption and the forgiveness of their sins. That Satan is a spirit that's working in his subjects. Under his influence, they are being controlled. And we were all in that situation in bondage until we had this new transfer from one kingdom to another. Now let's go on here. And this second point here is this. Satan's reign or Satan's rule is characterized by the following things. All right? Let's look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, it says this. This was the commission to the Apostle Paul after Christ appeared to him on the Damascus Road after he was in the process of his conversion here. This is what Jesus told Paul, which was Saul at that time. He says, I'm going to send you here in verse 18 to the Gentiles, and I'm going to deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, verse 18, to open their eyes. What did we see in 2 Corinthians? Blinded people's minds, blinded their eyes, blinded their understanding. I'm going to send you to break off the blindness from people through the glorious gospel. Secondly, to turn them, it says here, to turn them from darkness to light. They were in darkness, and I'm going to, through the preaching of the gospel, I'm going to use you to turn people from that domain to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. Look, it goes on to here, and from the power or authority of Satan. People are under the power or the authority of Satan. But I'm going to, through the preaching of the gospel, through what I'm commissioning you to do, knock off blindness off their eyes, cause them to turn from darkness to a kingdom, to the kingdom of light, and turning from the authority or power of Satan unto God. We see a transfer from one authority, he says here, power, which means authority, from one authority to another, from one kingship to another, that they may receive in this new kingdom the forgiveness of their sins and a brand new inheritance, okay, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ and all that he's provided for us, to those that are set apart by their faith in Jesus. That's what that scripture is saying. So, first of all, Satan's reign, Satan's rule is characterized by what? Spiritual blindness, darkness, being under the authority or power of Satan. People need the forgiveness of their sins and a brand new inheritance. All right? Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, Jesus, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us. Hello. That he might deliver us. Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. Sounded like we were in bondage. We needed to be delivered. We needed to be untied. We needed to be freed. We needed to be released. Now he says, that he might deliver us from this present. Say that. This present. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. Or the word is actually age. That he might deliver us from this present evil age. And that is according to the will of God and our Father. So here's Satan's rule. His reign is characterized by a need of deliverance. And ultimately, we need a deliverance from this present evil system, this present evil age. We'll talk more about that later. But how many know that things aren't like they're supposed to be? Amen. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I think I'm going to look at this out of the NIV because I just think that it might bring this out a little plainer. I don't know. Could be wrong because I haven't read this. But what do I have down here? Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Now, the NIV has a little, it says future glory. It says this. It says, consider that our present suffering are not worthy to compare with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There's something here that Paul calls a present suffering. All right? King James says, I reckon that the suffering of this time, all right, this present suffering is not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, or the sons of God to be manifest. The manifestation, the King James says, of the sons of God. You know, it hasn't been revealed yet, all that it means to be a child of God yet. All right. Verse 20. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice. The creation was subjected. Not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be liberated. Did you know that there is, let me just say this. You know, we teach at CBC, you know, we're redeemed from the curse, but what do we mean by that? We mean this, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. See, Galatians 3:13 says, He's redeemed us from the curse of the law is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. But you know, we have not yet been, what do I say here? We've been redeemed, but it has not come into full manifestation, the redemption of the curse that's been placed on this earth through the fall. You know what? I stepped on a sticker the other day. You know why there was a sticker in my yard, or a little, what I call a sticker? I don't know what you call them, but thistle. You know why it was in my yard? Because there was a curse was placed upon the ground. You know, I've got a bird feeder, and you know, I thought, well, you know, it's Thanksgiving, I'm going to be good to these birds, and I fill it full of seed, and I watched those guys almost kill themselves. I said, they got the same nature that's in the mankind. They're fighting, they're fussing, they're knocking one another off of their deal, you know. Whole creation has been tainted, I should say. Verse 21, that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay. You know, my dogs, a couple of my dogs died this summer. It said the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay. It's death. And brought into the glorious freedom of what it means to be a child of God. That's the glorious liberty of eternal life in its fullness, where the mortal puts on immortality, that we are not subject to death. We'll never have to go to a funeral. We'll never have to experience any of those things. Okay? Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We as Christians are also waiting for the release of the physical body to go from mortal to immortality. You know, I believe we can believe for healing. We should believe for healing. But the point of it is, you know what? You're still getting older. There'll be a time you will die unless Jesus returns, because we have not yet entered into this, which has been promised here. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption of our body. And it says in verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. In other words, we're waiting for all of this, the manifestation of this thing. Now, the reason I'm just bringing this out is this. Satan's reign, Satan's rule is characterized by not only spiritual blindness, not only darkness, not only the authority that he has is exercising over people, not only the need of the forgiveness of sins and a new inheritance, which we can talk about later. We need a deliverance from this present evil system, this present evil world. And right now, this rule, this reign in which Satan is, in a sense, exercising himself over, is a order in which things are not in order. Things are not right. There's suffering in this world. Well, God, if there's a God, why did God, you know, there's a suffering in this world. It's not God. It's Satan exercising his authority and usurping himself over mankind. Has nothing to do with the God of heaven. Let's turn over to Ephesians. We'll close down here pretty quick. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, strategies, tactics, schemes of the devil. For we, who's we? Believers. For we wrestle. What do you do when you wrestle somebody? It's a hand-to-hand combat. For we wrestle. But we're not wrestling against people. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. What are we wrestling against? Principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits in the high places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day when the attack is on, and having done all, stand. Then he tells you the various pieces of armor. So what am I saying? Satan's reign is characterized not only by spiritual blindness, darkness, the need of forgiveness of sins, they need a new inheritance, this present evil system and age, suffering, but there is a spiritual attack on the people of God. You know what? I'm in enemy territory. You're in enemy territory. I thought if you became a Christian, everything's wonderful, everything's good, you never have another problem the rest of your life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, the war is on. You see, Jesus has won the war, but the battles are still being fought. You know why? Because Jesus must reign till he subdues his enemies. Subdue means brings them under control by force. Now, so it says here, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. You know, we've got a lady over in Colorado Bible College, or Karis, where are we at? Karis Bible College. It used to be Colorado Bible College. Karis Bible College. You know Cecil Paxton, right?
Yeah.
Now he's been here and he's trained, and he's trained Andrew's prayer ministers and so on and so forth. So he trained this other individual, and I don't think I'll need to tell her name, but he trained her, and since he's been gone, she's been training the students for Andrew's GTS, his Gospel Truth seminars all through that country. So she trains them and so on and so forth, and shows them how to, you know, pray for the sick and pray for healing, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So she does all the training, the things that Cecil used to do. And last January, she was attacked by this skin rash, kind of a rash. It turned her skin black, and it went all over her body, all the way from her hands. And it was on her back. It was on her buttocks. It was down on her feet. It was everywhere. And you know what? They prayed for healing. They did all those things, you know, put into motion all the things that, you know, we teach about it. And she's carried that thing around since last January. Been on her body. Makes her miserable. She can't even hardly sit down. And she's training our students at Karis Bible College showing them how to get healed, pray for the sick, and do all these things, and all of this thing has attacked her body. Now, a few weeks ago, she was praying with some friends of ours, and the friend said, "You know what? I see it in spirit right now. There's this devil that's setting on you. I see him right there, and he's the one that brought this rash." You know what? Now, she had been to all the medical doctors and got all the creams and all the medications and all the stuff. They couldn't even identify what it is. They didn't even know what they're dealing with. But did you know? When they took authority over that demon, over that devil, you know what? Instantly gone. Just boom. All that rash, all that stuff, man, just boom, 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 boom. All of her body's gone. Why am I telling that story? God didn't call us to go to church on Sunday and hear somebody preach and come home. And that's it. No, we're talking about kingdom stuff here. We're talking about there's a domain and rule of the enemy, and he usurps his authority over the lost. But you know what? He'll usurp his authority over the believer if you let him. Yes. And you know what? There's a time to lay hands on somebody and command the arm to be strong or the eye to open, but there's a time that there's something behind that. It's a spirit. It's not physical. It's not a physical thing. It's not a physical recreation. It's an attack. Amen? And Satan's schemes here is to attack the people of God. To attack the people of God. Now, one other thing here, a couple of things, and I'll let you go here. But in your notes, I also have Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30, talking about persecution, which means that in this system and in this age, there will be persecution. Okay? Well, I'm not going to go there to read it because we're run out of time. But let's turn over to Matthew just for the sake of time. Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, I know that there's people that teach that, well, that's talking about this or that, and it's really not talking about violence. I think it's talking about violence. The violent take it by force. You see, there is a kingdom of God, and there's a kingdom of darkness. There's a kingdom of God, and there's a kingdom of Satan. And you know what? When you move towards the kingdom of God, or when an individual begins to move towards the kingdom of God, you know what? There's a violent attack. There's an attack. Satan comes immediately. All right? But the violent will take it by force and say, you know what? I'm going on through. Okay, let's turn over to Acts 17 and then we'll take a break. But Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 5. But the Jews which believe not. Hello, listen to me. The Jews which believe not. Who is the Satan, the king of darkness working through? He's working through those that are blinded and those that believe not. Okay? So the Jews which believe not were moved with envy. They were moved with jealousy. Who do you think was behind that? Why were they so radical? Why were they so jealous? Okay? The Jews which believe not moved with envy and took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort. Got a whole bunch of guys. And they gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar. They had a riot. And they assaulted the house of Jason. He was a Christian. So they assaulted his house and sought to bring him out to the people. Actually, to bring out the Apostle Paul and his companions to the people. And when they did not find them, when they didn't find Paul, they drew Jason and certain brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come here also, whom Jason has received," verse 7, "and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." Why were these men so riled up? Why was this mob so riled up? Why did they want to find the Apostle Paul? Why did they want to kill him? I'll tell you why. Because what was behind those people was a king that was usurping his authority over them. And the Apostle Paul came and says, "There's another king. You don't have to be under the lordship of Satan any longer. There's another king, one Jesus." And the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness at that moment come under conflict and violence. And a whole riot broke out. You know what? It was really Satan did not want the truth of the good news of a new king, a new kingdom, a new domain, the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, a new inheritance. So he used the people under his control to cause the riot and to actually try to kill the Apostle Paul because they were preaching. All right? Verse 7, saying that there was another king, one Jesus. Amen? All right. So let me just say this. We'll take a break and we'll come back. Here's what I want to say. Satan is a king. All right? We went through those scriptures of that. Satan is ruling or reigning, and his reign is characterized by these things. Here, we'll go through that in the next session. And he's threatened when the glorious gospel brings light to expose his domain of darkness with the offer of a transfer into this light. Amen. All right. God bless you and take a break.
This has been a product of the Discipleship Evangelism Collection for the Saints Ministry. Feel free to visit our websites at www.delessons.org and www.crowtracks.com. We invite you to write in for a free newsletter about our ministry. God bless you.